Let's turn our Bibles to Daniel. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand and one of our ushers will make sure you get one. So good to see many faces that came back from the holidays. I hope you guys are all rested up. And oh, we ran out of Bibles. Oh, okay. So there's one here, whoever needs one. Please share with someone next to you. Right, we're going to actually read this whole chapter, okay? And so let's read along together. Daniel chapter 10. It says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. And the message was true, one of great conflict, but he understood the message, had an understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. And on the 24th day of the first month, while I was at the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of Uphaz. His body was also like beryl, his face had the appearance of lightning, his eyes were like flaming torches, his arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a tumult. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, yet no strength was left in me, for my natural color turned to a deathly pallor, and I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. my face to the ground. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I am about to tell you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this to me, I stood up trembling. And he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future. And when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And behold, one who resembled a human being was touching my lips. And then I opened my mouth and spoke and said to him who was standing before me, O my Lord, as a result of the vision, anguish has come upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can such a servant of my Lord talk with such as my Lord? As for me, there remains just now no strength in me, nor has any breath been left in me. Then this one with human appearance touched me again and strengthened me. And he said, O man of high esteem, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. Now as soon as he spoke to me, I received strength and said, may my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, do you understand why I came to you? But I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia. So I'm going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth. Yet there is no one who stands firmly against me, against these forces, except Michael, your prince. Let's pray. Lord, we bless you today, God. We thank you for gathering us, God, together in community, Lord, to come and to receive your word today, God. Lord, I pray that you would just continue on in this worship service, Lord, that we would, Lord, humble ourselves, God, each one of us, Lord, to receive something from you today, God, that will change us, Lord. Lord, we don't want to be the same, God, person that we walked in here with, God. We want strength to come upon us, Father God, as the word is spoken, Lord. Father, we ask right now that you release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us, God, individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself, God, and I ask you to use me even in my weakness, Lord. Bless this time, God. Do something supernatural in us. We love you, Lord. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. 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 The title of my message today is called 21 Days. And this is part 3 of a series that I'm doing on fasting. And so if you haven't gotten the other, or you're out of town or whatnot, go back to the website and you can catch the other two sermons. And that will kind of help you to really put this sermon in reference, in a frame, and also to understand, you know, what we're doing as a church. Now, before I get to the text, I just want to just say a few words on fasting, just to kind of help us along. You know, and I do this every year, so just as a reminder. spiritually, as you're going through this, so this is just, I'm just, you know, it's we're halfway there, right? It's 10 days, you know, so we got another 11 to go. And so, so going halfway, I just want to do just kind of a spiritual check. You know, when I used to play football, our coach used to always say, all right, it's time for a heart check. You know, in other words, you got guts, man. You know, are you going to continue on in this? Are you got the right motive? And so we're doing a heart check today, right? And so this is just a few questions that I want you to ask yourself during this time as we're fasting. You know, number one, am I confident that this desire to fast is God-given? Right? Am I confident that this desire is given by the Lord? Am I confident in the type of fast that He wants me to undertake? You know, maybe God wants you to step it up a bit. Maybe God wants you to downgrade a little bit. You know, but, you know, let the Lord be the one that chooses that. You know, Jesus says that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to fast. You know, instead of, let it be the Lord that's leading us during this time, whatever we're doing this time. The second question I want you to ask is, are my motives right? Remember when Jesus talked about fasting, His first message that He gave on fasting dealt with motives. You know, so I want to just take a step back and say, well, are my motives right? Am I trying to twist God's arm? You know, am I trying to force God to do something? Am I going on a hunger strike? You know, and so make sure that our motives are pure before God. Are there any hidden desires to impress people? You know, are there any hidden desires? You know, oh, look at me. I'm so spiritual. You know, I come out in the mornings. You know, look, I'm losing some weight. You know, I can finally wear those pants again. Look at me, everyone. You know, if you know, make sure, right? The scripture says your Father who sees in secret will reward you, right? So let it be done in secret. You know, number three, what are my spiritual objectives in this fast? You know, I mean, what are you really going after? Obviously, you're going after the Lord, right? And you're responding to Him. But also, is it for personal sanctification? Is it for intercession? Is there a special burden that you're under right now? Are you asking for divine guidance? Or is it just a blessing or revival? You know, or are you just being obedient and just joining the church? You know, your pastor said so, so you're just being obedient, you know? And so, what are the objectives? The scripture tells us, right? It says, I press on toward the goal. The last question, and probably the most important question, am I determined above all else to minister to the Lord during this fast? Right? Am I ministering to Jesus? You know, you're not eating or you gave up an activity or something, you sacrificed something, but are you ministering to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, in prayer, in your heart, these things. You know, are you stealing time away with God? You know, to be with Him? You know, not just not eating, right? You know, we say it so many times, right? Fasting without prayer is dieting. Okay, and so are you seeking the Lord's face during this season? You know, in the book of Acts, it says they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. Right? They were worshiping God, you know, through this very act. And so that's a spiritual question. So I want to make it a little more practical now. I want to say this to you, you know, as someone that, you know, has spent quite a bit of time fasting through my life, don't mistake judging the effectiveness of your fast and intercession by what you're feeling. Okay? Yeah, very clearly, right? You know, just because, you know, you're not, because, you know, I share the story all the time. You know, the first time I ever fasted, I went on an extended fast, I just thought that angels were going to come and hang out with me. You know, I mean, I don't know why. I just thought that I'd have angelic beings, and I thought that every time I'd open up the Bible, like, just, you know, like, things would leap out in the page, and I thought I would be so close to Jesus. You know, I'd be, you know, I pictured myself like John the Beloved. Remember the Lord's Supper, and John had his head on Jesus' bosom, right? That's the New American Standard says that, you know. The NIV couldn't handle that, you know, that depiction, so they put something else. But it's like this kind of intimacy, right? You know, and so, but none of that happened. And it was probably, actually, I felt quite distant from God during that time. I didn't realize that God was really doing a deep work in me, you know. I mean, something good came out of it, obviously. You know, but so don't judge the effectiveness of your fast by how you feel. All right? That'd be a major mistake. You know, often in seasons of prayer and fasting, You'll find the going harder than easier. You know, you will seem to experience less rather than more liberty. You know, it's just something, because you're contending right now. You know, this is what happens, right? This is a wrestling. You know, this is a heavenly warfare taking place. You know, the captain of the host, he did not promise you a walkover, but a fight. You know, and he gave you the weapons to win this fight. Remember we talked about a couple weeks ago, right? God called us to be overcomers, to overcome. You know, and sure, you know, we would like God to just take it away. But if God just takes stuff away, we would be the same. You know what I mean? We wouldn't be any stronger. We wouldn't grow at all. You know, if he just would alleviate all the stress, all the pressure, all these things in our life, right, then we would be the same exact person. Nothing would change. So what God does, he calls us to be overcomers. In other words, he infuses us with strength and anointing, right, that the situation's there, but we overcome that situation through his power, through his strength, and then we become changed, right? And so other hurdles come, and we overcome those things, and we become changed even more, and transform the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? That's what we're going after, you know, and you know, often you won't really see the results or feel the results until after it's over. You know, and so we press on toward the goal. We finish the race that's set before us. Now, practically, I just gave you some of these last week, but I just want to make sure that you keep along with this. During this time, keep warm, right? Especially since it's getting cold now, but because you're fasting. At home, man, I am freezing. You know, and I keep, you know, we have this ritual at my house, right? Because we got a heater in the room. I turn the heater on. My wife wakes up, turns the heater off. I turn the heater on. Wait, turns the heater off because her and the kids, they're fine, right? I mean, they're sweating. I'm freezing, right? I mean, I have two blankets over me, and so I'm still cold. So you got to make sure that you keep warm, right? What's happening is the metabolism, you know, or the phytometabolism is being fed with basically low-grade fuel. You know, and it's consequently, it's not generating enough heat in our bodies, okay? That's the medical explanation of this. You know, the body therefore tends to feel cold more and stuff. So, you know, because you're not giving it the food, you know, that to burn, right? So it's like, you know, you're feeding your body like cheap gas, you know? It's actually the waste that's inside of you already, you know, and the fat as well. Drink plenty of water. Drink a lot of liquids. By this time, you should have been over all your headaches. If you're still getting headaches, that means you're still drinking caffeine. You got to cut that out, right, of your diet, totally. You know, I know that to that, that's like a fast and a half for some of you, right? So, you know, coffee or Coke, whatever, you cut that out, and trust me, the headaches will go, right? Shower with warm water, not hot water. If you don't believe me, try this. Shower with hot water, and you'll almost faint when you get out the shower. Right, that's the first time I did. You know, I was because I was so cold, hot water, and it depleted all my energy, and I nearly fell out of the bathtub. Right, and so you got to be just very careful in this time. Regular light exercise is recommended, not strenuous exercise. Light exercise, you know. So I just try to do like, you know, 20 push-ups, you know, just so I can keep my musculature intact. You know, I don't really have much right now, but. But it's good for you, right? If you read any book on fasting, they tell you the same exact thing. Light exercise is good for you. And again, I said, stay away from caffeinated drinks, okay? So it's plain and simple. Let's turn to the book of Acts. By the way, in the morning prayer, we're going through the book of Acts. We're having a wonderful time. You know, during our house church leaders meeting, a lot of the house church leaders have said, you know what, Pastor Sam, we really want to get into the Word. You know, we really want to be able to study our Bibles in our house church. And I don't really want to do a Bible study on the side to take away from our house church ministry. And so I decided that in our morning prayer time that I'm going to do a lot more teaching instead of preaching. And so that's what our mornings have been like. And we go through a chapter a day. And so in Acts 13, right, we see fasting and prayer changing the world. Right? Time and time again, the people of God were called into action by prayer and fasting. In Acts 13, verse 1 through 3, It says, now they were at Antioch in the church that was there. Prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I had called them. Right? And so we see the beginning of the Gentile inclusion, or I should say the beginning of the mission of Gentile inclusion, birth through prayer and fasting, right? Prayer and fasting really did change the world. You know, the New Testament church not only practiced fasting individually, but they practiced it corporately. You know, these five prophets and teachers came together for a season of fasting and prayer to seek the Lord, you know, about the future of the church. You know, and out of this ministry, they received clear direction and power, right, for that direction. Right, the Holy Spirit appointed out Paul and Barnabas for a special task. The five men fasted, sought the Lord's face, prayed, laid hands on them, and launched them, right, into history, basically. Right? That's fasting prayer, changes the world, right? And if you think about this, you know, before they were sent, right, they were merely known as prophets and teachers, but after being sent forth from their tasks, they now became apostles. You know, the apostolic ministry of Paul and Barnabas was birthed out of collective prayer and fasting in Antioch. Turn to the next chapter, Acts chapter 14. Verse 21-23. And verse 21 says, and after they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Now, in Acts 14, before the season of fasting and prayer, right, they were just merely known as disciples. After the season of fasting and prayer, they were called elders. Right? It was a season of prayer and fasting that transitioned the church. In fact, the whole leadership structure of church from disciples into elders after a season of prayer and fasting. Right? And so the makeup of the church changed through prayer and fasting. Right? I mean, this is what we're really hoping for, right? The establishment of the local church in each city was accomplished through collective prayer and fasting. I think that's pretty cool, you know. Again, as a reminder, you know, we are not fasting to try to gain God's approval or your pastor's approval or your leader's approval. Right, we're not fasting to, you know, for any approval of man or even of God. God already approves of us, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, "Hey, good looking," right? God already approves of you. See, He already thinks you're wonderful. Why we're doing this is we're responding to that love. The Hebrews, the Jews, they really understood this very well. There's a phrase that I learned in seminary, and it really touched me. And they call it gnomism. What gnomism is a belief system, right? Gnomism is a Hebrew belief system of what they believe about God. What gnomism is actually the direct opposite of legalism. Right, legalism says, you know, or you know, trying to find favor, or whatnot, is like, Lord, I do this so you can love me. Right, gnomism. What gnomism says, and this is Jewish thought, is Lord, because you love me, I do this. It's a totally different mindset, right? We're not trying to twist God's arm into anything. We are responding to God's love, right? I mean, we live in grace. You don't have to do anything. You know what I mean? I mean, you don't have to, because that's what grace, right? Unmerited favor. But what we do is we come to church, we give, we serve, right? Because we are responding to God's love. We're not trying to earn God's love. God, if I do this thing, then will you love me here? If I do this, will you answer this prayer? If I sacrifice this, will you do that? That's not Christianity, right? That's not our faith. Our faith is, God, because you love me, because you poured yourself, because you became man, right? And you came down into our misery, right? And you, you know, got... you know, died for that and resurrected out of that misery,
Lord, because of that, God, I just want to serve you. Right? It's my response to you, God. Right? And that's got to be the mindset. And so we're fasting as a holy response. You know, and what I'm saying as a pastor and trying to lead our church into this, I'm saying that God has got incredible things designed for you this year. I'm just getting blown away by what God's gonna do. You know, and I'm no prophet, right? And so if you want a prophetic word from me, you know, trust me, half the time you'll get a pathetic word, right? And so you know, don't worry about that part. You know, but sometimes, every once in a while, God speaks to me. You know, and He usually gives me one word a year, right? And it usually has to do with marriage and babies. You know, but I'll say this: I don't want to toot my own horn or anything. But do you remember last year, right? Because I told you it's coming last year, right? When the Lord spoke and He says, "This is a year of double portion." You guys remember that, right? You guys were here last year. Well, some of you guys that were here. You know, and so, okay, and so I just announced it. Okay, God, this is, Lord, guys, this is a year of double portion. God's just going to do double. You know, and since that word, and so in the beginning, the Lord just gave me a thought that we're going to have six babies at church, right? That six babies, right, that we're going to be, people are going to get, you know, pregnant, you know, in 2008, right? Six people. Guess what? It's 12. I can't tell you the last one yet, but it's... It's definitely confirmed, right? 12, double portion. You know, our congregation has doubled in 2008, right? I think our giving is I don't know what the last two months' figures are, but from the first 10 months, is almost doubled what it was last year. It's double portion, man. Right? And so, you know, all to say, I've got a little credibility walking into 2009, you know? And so, just a little bit of credibility, right? And things, and so I'm excited, and if I'm hearing right from the Lord, and I'll actually be sharing at the end of the message today a little bit about that, you know, then we're primed for something. We're primed for an encounter. You know, and so what we're coming together and we're saying is, God, we recognize, Lord, you're doing something. Right? I mean, you're drawing us into this place. And so, God, we just want to respond to that in thanksgiving, Lord. You know, and in fact, in some ways, we can say, Lord, I just want to thank you in advance. I'm just going to thank you in advance, God, for just the way you're going to blow me away in 2009. Amen. And so I'm going to consecrate myself, God, in the beginning of this year. But I'm going to sacrifice, Lord, not to get your love, not to earn your love, not to twist your arm, or not to earn something from you, because you already love me, God. I'm already walking in the fullness, right? But Lord, that's just my response to you, you know, and just a heart of gratitude for being such a good God, because I love you. Right, that's simply put. That's all this fast is about, you know. And so if that's not what your fast is about, right, then you need to make a little heart adjustment, you know, a little attitude check to get to that place, you know, where the freedom could just really flow from you, you know. And we're coming together and we're saying, Lord, I'm hungry, man. I was hungry yesterday, man. You know what I mean? I mean, I was, you know, even like. You know, stuff that my kids were leaving over, you know, like, you know, it takes Emma like an hour to eat now, you know, because she's so, I mean, she's running around everywhere, so she eats and she runs around, does stuff, and then she comes back and takes another bite and stuff. And, you know, I mean, this is a little bowl of regurgitated, you know, like rice and soup that, you know, that she, you know, and man, I've never seen anything look so good in my whole life. You know what I mean? I mean, I was hungry, you know, but what we're saying is, Lord, I'm hungry. But God, man, I'm more hungry for you, right? That's, you know, we're saying, God, I'm tired. Lord, I'm tired, you know, but Lord, I am energized by you, right? I am energizing you. Lord, I am weak, God. I feel weak, you know, I'm moving so slow these days and these, but Lord, you know, I'm saying, Lord, I am strong in you, right? That's what we're going for. That's where we're at in this place. You know, and so hopefully, you know, in this fast, remember last week I talked about the three stages of your body and fasting. I hope I said by Sunday you should be in stage three. And if you're not, right, you need to come talk to me afterwards. I need to lay hands and pray for you or something, right? And so, you know, and it again, it doesn't matter what you're fasting, right? It doesn't matter, right? You know, TV, internet, food, you know, I know a lot of you guys are going on Daniel fast or vegetable fast or, you know, are the most famous fast someone has ever gone on our church was the meat fast, right? Meat fast, but just beef, right? So you could have chicken and pork and fish and everything else. So I'm not going to say who that person was, but I was told by the church to mention that every year. So I'll mention that, right? So it's just the beef fast. And I think he gained weight at the end afterwards. But in any case, right? So it doesn't matter what you're fasting, right? What matters is that you're doing it unto the Lord, right? You're doing it unto God, you know, and it's something precious to you. Amen? All right, let's go to Daniel. Let's just find some, just pick out some truths in Daniel here. Right? Daniel, in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel is an intriguing figure, right? Daniel was so gifted. You know how gifted Daniel was? Daniel was so gifted, he was the number one man for 3 different kings and kingdoms. I mean, that's unheard of. You know what I mean? I mean, he's the top figure outside of the king or the ruler of the time in 3 different kingdoms. You know, one kingdom came, overcame another kingdom. They ruled, right, and subjugated. But Daniel rose in favor and became the top guy. The next kingdom, the Babylonian kingdom, was captured. Right, next thing you know, Daniel becomes the top guy in the new kingdom. There's just something about Daniel. You know, and Daniel was a man of prayer. You know, Daniel was just an incredible figure in scriptures. He was a politician. Right, he was a poet, you know. He was a Renaissance man. I mean, every woman you should long for someone like Daniel. You know what I mean? I mean, just an incredible person. And Daniel was also very spiritual, you know. And he saw a vision. He was praying. He received a vision from God, and it shook Daniel so much. That he needed to hear the word from God. He needed to hear the response from the Lord. You know, and so he comes and he enters into a season of conflict, a season of warfare. And Daniel saw spiritual warfare coming his way. So you know what he did? He prepared himself. He prepared himself. Right? I'm telling you, right? Warfare is coming your way in 2009. Anything worth anything is going to cost something, right? Warfare is headed our way as a church. It's headed your way in your family, right? It's headed your way, you know, in your company. I mean, obviously, some of you guys are feeling that warfare right now, you know, as layoffs are happening all over Asia and all these things. I mean, the warfare is upon us, you know, and it will continue to move, right? All who desire to live godly will be persecuted. Paul said. And so when we understand these things, that warfare is on our way, Daniel, he didn't just lie back and he didn't get depressed and, you know, he didn't just, you know, back down and bow down and fall asleep. You know, he didn't. He prepared himself for battle. He prepared himself for what was coming, right? He was wise. You know, I mean, that's why he was number one man in 3 different kingdoms, right? He was wise. You know, he saw the warfare coming, and so what did he do? He prepared himself by fasting, by seeking the Lord. All right, this is Daniel's fast. This is what it comprised of. Daniel's fast was 21 days long, right? He had no pleasant food. The word, the Hebrew word is kamad, right? And kamad, it's actually more like kamad, something like that, but, you know, my Hebrew is not very good. But it means to desire, to covet, to long for. It's precious. It's costly. Right? And so, you know, when we're talking about, you know, pleasant food, we're talking about stuff that he really, really enjoyed. You know what I mean? And if you want to know what you enjoyed, think of the last 4 meals you had before you entered the fast. That's your kamad. You know what I mean? I know exactly where I went, right? I went to Kaya, right? And we went to Ruth Chris. And, you know, I made sure I organized my meals very carefully because I know that's going to be the last time I'm going to taste those for a while. But that was the pleasant food, you know, and he put that stuff away. And then he had no meat, right? No wine and no ointment. Now, the ointment, because we don't quite understand this in our day, is also a Hebrew word, is kuk. Right, and this is oil that's used after a bath, especially for a fragrant effect. But sometimes, and most, you know, also commonly used for medicinal purposes. Right, and so it's not. You can't just say it's cologne. You know what I mean? So it's not like perfume. You know, but it's kind of similar, but it has a little bit of a medicinal kind of effect, you know. So I don't know what that is. Maybe it's like a lotion with perfume in it or something. I don't wear that kind of stuff, so I don't know. Someone help me out so I can explain better in the second service later on. But this is, and he refrains from doing that. So it's the food, right? He doesn't eat that, especially food that's precious to him, right? No meat, no wine, no ointment during this time. And so he enters to a season of preparation, of preparing himself for what's about to come, right? And so I just have four simple points that we're just going to open up the text and kind of look through. Number one, fasting and prayer opens up our spiritual eyes. Fasting and prayer opens up our spiritual eyes. Verse 7, right, he says there, I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. Right, and so Daniel sits there, right, he's with a bunch of guys, right, it's him, a bunch of dudes are with him, right, but the angel of the Lord comes and appears to them. These guys are just afraid, right, this says dread comes over them, fear comes over them, and they take off, but Daniel, the only one, right, that actually sees what's happening, right, he saw something. You know, fasting and prayer opens up our spiritual eyes. Right? It's just something that happens. You know, the companions, right? They left. But only Daniel was there alone. Only Daniel got to see the vision. Right? Only Daniel got his eyes that were opened up. Right? Fasting prayer opens up our spiritual eyes. Number two. Fasting and prayer sets us into God's presence. Fasting and prayer sets us into God's presence. In verse 9 and 10, it says, I heard the sound of his words. And as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. Right? This deep sleep of God. Right? He was in the presence of the Lord. Right? The presence of God. Some of us have, in certain times in our Christian life, you know, especially if you kind of hang around charismatic circles, right? You've experienced this deep sleep. You know, people, I mean, they have all kinds of names for it, right? You know, slain in the spirit, falling in the spirit. You know, carpet time, whatever the case may be, right? But it's this deep sleep that came over Daniel, right? Right. Fasting and prayer sets us in God's presence. Number three. Fasting and prayer brings God's encouragement. Fasting and prayer brings God's encouragement. All right, the angel of the Lord appears to him in verse 11 and says, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you and stand upright, for I've now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. All right, fasting and prayer brings God's encouragement. All right, he looks over to Daniel. You know, Daniel's, you know, afraid, but he looks over to him and says, Daniel, you're a man of high esteem. Right? The encouragement of the Lord comes, right, to lift Daniel up, put him back on his feet. The last one, number four, fasting and prayer brings God's answers. Fasting and prayer brings God's answers. In 12 and 13, the angel of the Lord begins to explain to him what happened. He says, Daniel, from the first day that you set your heart, right, to understand the vision, right, the answer was sent your way. But he was, Gabriel now is saying, but I was, in warfare. You know, I was fighting the prince of Persia. You know, we don't really understand what's happening in this realm. You know, but something's moving on there, right? And I think I explained this before, right? You know, when we talk about heavens, right? Remember the Bible says God created the heavens and the earth. Not just one heaven, right? He said the heavens and the earth. Paul, in 2 Corinthians, he'll actually say that he had received a vision and he got caught up into the third heaven, right? And so he says he created the heavens and the earth. Paul says he got caught up to the third heaven. He called that paradise, right? When Jesus looked in Luke, the man on the cross, he says, today you shall be with me in paradise. He was talking about the third heaven. the third heaven being what we consider heaven, right? When we think of heaven, we think that place, you know, like, you know, nice clouds, you know, white robes and, gates of gold, you know, whatever else you think about. But that's what we think about. That's the third. That's called paradise. Now, there's a third heaven, so there's one, two, three, right? And so the first heaven is what we see on this earth. We look at the sky, we see the heavens, right? The second heaven is a spiritual realm, right? In this realm, this is where, you know, angelic beings, demonic beings. I mean, we don't, you know, we only get little glimpses in the scripture of this, right? Do you remember when Elisha, or I think it's, remember Elisha or Elijah, I forget, one of the two, but they were surrounded by an army, and his assistant that was sitting next to them was very afraid. And remember, Elisha prayed and says, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." And remember, he saw chariots of fire surrounding, ready to consume this army. And then he was, you know, all of a sudden the servant's like, "All right, cool, man. All right, bring it on," you know. He got confidence. That was operating in the second heaven that we're talking about. All right, the third heaven being paradise, the second heaven, this spiritual realm, you know. And in the scriptures, once in a while, we get a little glimpse of what's going on in that realm, right? And then we have the heavens that we see, the natural heavens, right? And so what's happening here, there's something in that second heaven, right, that's in operation that's preventing this prayer, right, from being released, you know, or the answer from being released into this atmosphere, our heaven, right, or heavens, or our space, you know. And so the angel begins to tell him, right, the answer comes that this is what's happening, the warfare is happening. You know, in other words, he's encouraging, says, you know, "I want you to know, Dan, God has not rejected you. Just because you haven't heard this answer for 21 days, you know, he's not rejected you." And some of you need to hear that. I mean, you need to hear that with your heart of hearts. You know, and you may be going through a time, it was probably more than 21 days, you know, and in your heart you feel like, "God, when are you going to answer my prayer? You know, Lord, I thought this is your will. When are you going to save my dad, save my mom? When are you going to, you know, heal my father? When are you going to do this, you know?" And we've been crying out to God. And I want you to say that the lack of, or the non-response is not a sign of rejection, right? Listen very carefully. It's not a sign of rejection. There's something going on in the atmosphere around us. You know, we don't know what's happening, you know, but don't take it as rejection. Because a lot of times we do that. You know, and then we get mad at God, and, you know, we get mad at ourselves, and then we start, you know, doing crazy stuff and these kind of things. Right? Just because the answer doesn't come in your timing doesn't mean that God has rejected you. He looks to Daniel and says, "Daniel, man of high esteem," he encourages him. And then he explains exactly what happened. I want to tell you, when that moment comes, right, when that thing that you've been pressing in with God, you know, when that answer comes, the explanation will come with it. And you know what's going to happen at the end? You're going to be like, "Oh, of course, Lord." Right? Of course. You know, one of my favorite stories is the footprints. Remember footprints, right? You know, the dude's lived his life, and, you know, he's got footprints in the sand and everything, and all of a sudden, you know, he dies, and he sees his whole journey, and sees all these footprints. But then he noticed that every time that life was very difficult, there was only one set of footprints. Because usually his whole life, when he met Christ, there was two sets, and Jesus walking with him. You know, and then he turned to the Lord and says, "Look, what's up, man?" You know, it's modern translation, right? "What's up, man? You know, I mean, what's going on here? Why are you, you know, I thought you would take care of me. I thought you would, you know, help me. You said you'd always be with me. But in the most difficult parts of my life, I only see one set of footprints. What's up, man?" You know, and remember the Lord turns and says, "You know, my son, right, it's in those moments that I carried you." Right? That's why you only see one set of footprints. And the dude is like, "Ah, I get it. Trust me," right? When the answer comes, the explanation will come with it. And you're going to be in awe of God's wisdom. You're going to be in awe of God's timing. Right? You're going to be in awe of God's ways. Right? And I know it's difficult. Right? We you know, you're pressing in, you're laboring, you're warfaring. Right? But trust me, it's going to come. Right? It's going to come. Right? God, and listen to this in this text, God heard Daniel from the beginning. That's what he said. He said, Daniel, from the moment, right? He said, from the first day you set your heart, right, on humbling yourself before God, right, I have come in response to your words, right? From the beginning, God has heard, right? There's something going on. We don't know what it is, right? And so we just walk in faithfulness, you know? Our prayers please the Lord. They please God, right? Daniel prays and he sends his emissary. You know, I see God on his throne. First day, Daniel prays. God says, Gabriel, go. Right? Get on your way, right? I mean, it's awesome, right? And who knows what, you know, what's already been sent our way. But we persevere, right? That's the posture that Daniel took, right? Fasting and prayer aids in spiritual warfare. It's just a text. It just aids. There's something that happens, right? When we pray and fast, there's a release that comes, right? So number, fasting and prayer opens up our spiritual eyes. Fasting and prayer sets us in God's presence. Fasting and prayer brings God's encouragement. Fasting and prayer brings God's answers. Now, I jammed through these 4 points. I usually go a lot longer, but I want to get to this part. During the worship time, God was really speaking to me. And it was just glorious, you know. And I felt like God just really gave me a word. I was really contemplating of just changing the whole message. But then I thought this actually will fit quite well with the message that I already prepared, you know. And this is the picture that I got, right? Just the sense from the Lord, right? 2009. Let me share with you the vision. I'm gonna preach on it as soon as we finish this series on fasting. 2009 is the year of the impossible, right? And we're gonna say this about a billion times before this year is out. 2009 is gonna be the year of the impossible, right? And just the strong sense that I got, right, was that there are things, right, that you've been praying for. You know, that's your inheritance, right? That's your right as a child of God. You know, and some of you, it's that one thing, and it's that hurdle, and, you know, it's that impossible thing. And, you know, our New Year's service, we talked about that a little bit, and, you know, and we wrote down those prayer requests. You know, and I just had such an incredible sense, right? 2009 is the year of the impossible, right? Luke chapter 1, for all things, right, nothing will be impossible with God, you know. And with that in mind, you know, the picture that I got was actually the picture of Hannah, you know, in 1 Samuel, right, in chapter 1, and she was just kneeling before the Lord and just crying out to God, you know. If you know the story of Hannah, her, you know, she's barren, right, and her husband rebukes her, right, because she's praying and she doesn't eat, she's fasting, right. And her husband says, "Woman, what are you doing, man? You know, come on, step out of it, you know, kind of thing. You know, it's kind of like, this is our lot in life." Now, it doesn't say that in text, but I'm just drawing out, right? You know, this is just what we've been giving. This is the cards that we're dealt. So, woman, snap out of it. Forget about this thing, you know? And Hannah, you know, I mean, this is probably the one time you shouldn't listen to your husband, right? And this happens here. And Hannah, next thing you know, she goes into the house of the Lord and she begins to cry out to the Lord. I mean, just really cry out to God. I mean, just distress, you know. And Eli comes, and remember, Eli thinks she's drunk. And he says this in verse 15. And this is, you don't have to go there. I'll just read it for you. 1 Samuel 1:15. Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord." It's that second part that really caught me. Hannah said, "Man, I'm not drunk. I may look like, I may act like I'm drunk, you know, I may look like a crazy woman. I'm not drunk. But what I am doing is I am pouring my heart out before the Lord. I am pouring myself out before God." You know, and you know what I was sensing today, right? That, and I know some of you guys are about to quit. right? Some of you guys are about to give up, you know, and you know, you're about to go a different path, and some of us are, you know, are at that place where we're saying, well, these are the cards that I'm dealt. What can I do? You know, I guess this is just not, you know, God's will. Even though, you know, there's such a strong pull in it. You know, I mean, I believe, but maybe this is just not meant to be. You know? And you're about to enter into a place of passivity. This is the word of the Lord for us, right? If you will pour out your heart before God this year, right? If you will pour out your heart before the Lord this year, God will do something impossible in the midst of you. Right? I know that's a big statement, right? You know, I mean, that's a huge statement and things, but I'm going to say it anyway, right? This is my step of faith. If, right? Because see, it's, yeah, I'm not saying it's conditional, but it's responsive, right? You know, whenever the scriptures, whenever the prophets spoke, there was always a response that was asked from the people. And so today, even starting from today, right, this Sunday, if you would begin to pour your heart out before the Lord, and some of you guys have those one or two things, you know what I mean, in your prayer life that just seems so out there. You know what I mean? Like, you know, even have people just say, just give up, man. Right? You definitely had the devil tell you to give up every single day. Right? Eh, forget about it. That's just your life, man. This is who you are. You're never going to change. This is how it's always going to be. Listen very carefully, church. If you will pour your heart out before God, He will come. He will come. Right? You know, I mean, this is being recorded. This is a prophetic statement. Right? He will come. If you would take that posture, right, of Hannah here, a heart to intercede, right, a heart just to seek God's face, man, He will come. You know, going back to Daniel, this is later on, and this is the closing of this thing. Daniel, he was tired, man. He was weak. Right, I mean, he extended himself. He was out of it, you know. And he said, "I'm so weak." And the angel of the Lord came and touched him, and it says, and then he had strength. You know, I really felt like this, guys. Right, right. That today, I feel like today is a divine moment for us, a divine moment for you. Right, if you would pour out your heart today. And I know you feel weak and, you know, and you guys want to give up and it just seems so lost. I'm not saying an angel is coming and going to touch you, right? But God's going to put supernatural strength in you to contend for this year. You're tired, you're weak, right? He's been fasting for 21 days, right? I mean, you know, all these things are happening and the angel, right? And he says, I'm so weak, I couldn't. And all of a sudden, the hand of God came over Daniel. And Daniel says, I was strengthened. And then he continued on into that fight. Right? So, that's why I wanted to jam through this fast. I want to have a time of prayer today. Right? No one's going to lay hands on you today. Okay? You know, so this is not ministry time. Right? This is you and the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father and the Spirit of God. And if starting, let's just start today, right? If you would pour out your heart before the Lord, you know. Now, some of us, this makes no sense to us because there's really nothing that's really pressing. So, you know, so that's, you know, maybe the Lord's not speaking to you, and that's fine. But there's many of us in our body, in our congregation, that are just really have been contending, you know, and I know that because I just felt it, man. I was just weeping this morning. Right? I just felt the contending. Also felt just the favor of God, the desire of God to want to come and just minister, right? Just to minister. We don't know what's going on, right? You know, we don't know, you know, I don't know, Prince of Hong Kong or whatever is, you know, delaying. I don't know. I mean, it sounds even stupid me saying something like that, right? But there's delay happening here. And so, come to that place and say, God, I'm going to pour out my heart. Now, I'm not talking about emotionalism. I'm not talking about crying. I'm not talking about any of these things. I'm talking about a heart, right? I mean, Hannah just looked like she's like drunk, you know? So I don't want you to emulate any posture. That's what I'm talking about. But you know how to pour your heart out before the Lord. And I know for some of you, this is a very important, pressing matter. And so I'm going to open up the altar today. I'm just going to give you an opportunity to come and just kneel and just have some time with the Lord. Right? Simply put. And my prayer today for you is that God would come and strengthen you. Put strength in you to fight the good fight of faith. Because it's going to come. Done deal. It's going to come. But let's do our part. Let's pour out our hearts before God. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let Him whisper into your heart of hearts. And you know you need to come because the Spirit of God is like an arrow piercing your heart right now. And don't do this for me. This is just you and the Lord, okay? Just you and Jesus. And so the worship team is just going to lead us. I just want to encourage you to come. Just bow before the Lord. And we're just going to spend time together, that's all. Just pour out your hearts. Thank you, Jesus. And as a church, I want to encourage you guys. I know there's probably something in all of us, but I want to encourage you just to just stretch out your hands and just begin to intercede for our friends that have courageously taken this step forward. Right? If you're praying, you know, you can continue to pray on your own, but if you, just from where you're seated, just extend your hand and just lift them up before God. Real breakthrough. Lord, we ask for a pouring right now.